This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey y'all, this is Kyle Rawson from Meng, and this is the Impact Outdoors Podcast. Mangroves are the most, you know, of all seagrass, oysters, clams, mussels, barnacles, whatever you want to name it, filter feeders. Mangroves are at the top, and they can sustain those heavy polluted areas. They can sustain a lot more of that that environmental damage. So they're kind of okay. Mangroves kind of are the staple for health in a lot of ways. It's just maintaining the spaces that they're in and then expanding in spaces where it makes sense. So right now in Florida, because we have so much coastal development, a lot of what we do is adaptation projects. So we're coming in, we're building land up, putting rock in, or taking an old existing mangrove shoreline, cutting holes in the walls, allowing water to come back in and creating a new floodplain for more filter habitat. So that's kind of where we fall a lot more with our projects now, because there's just not a lot of places we can just go pop mangrove seedlings in all the time. So that's where a lot of our focus is on. So as we build coastal communities out, we hope that we'll be able to integrate more of these holistic, you know, ecosystem floodplains into different communities to help prevent, you know, storm surge and stuff like that.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another great episode here at Impact Outdoors Podcast. Last summer at ICAST, I got to meet up with Kyle Rawson, one of the founders of Mang, which is based down in Florida, and they do amazing things with their company. They produce a lot of great apparel, and their whole motto about buy one, plant one is really coming true with these guys. They're approaching planting 1 million mangroves here in another year or so. And they're just doing so many good things to give back to their community, not just in Florida, but across the world, where they can make a difference with re-establishing mangrove communities. So, you know, this is a great episode. Me and Kyle got to talk a lot about different aspects of mangroves and habitat restoration, and how they actually started their apparel brand and how that's going. They've got a lot of great things coming, and excited to bring you this episode, so stay tuned for this one. And also want to let you know, we are getting ready to start filming episodes at the Hunt Fish Podcast Summit here next week, so we've got a lot of great content coming out for you here over the next 6 to 8 months probably from this year's event. We've got some amazing guests lined up to speak, and some great roundtable discussions and stuff. So if you haven't yet, go and check us out on Facebook and Instagram here at Impact Outdoors, and also go over to the Hunt Fish Podcast page on Facebook, Instagram, and check out our YouTube channel. We'll be posting a lot of content on there, and really can't wait to get this year's summit going and bring the content to you. So let's jump right into this week's episode with Kyle Rawson from Maine. All right. Well, I am really excited about this episode this week. I've been hoping to get Kyle Rawson from Mang on the show for a while. And Kyle, welcome to the show, man.
Honored to be here.
So, yeah, we briefly got to shake hands for a couple seconds over at ICAST last summer. And I've been following you guys for a few years and been aware of y'all's brand and y'all's mission and stuff, but thought this would be a perfect opportunity to kind of get you on the show and talk a little bit about how y'all got started. You and your brother started this, and you know, it's, I can just tell you from the little experience I've had with you guys and watching your company grow and stuff, it's more than an apparel brand, obviously. I mean, y'all have a very strong mission. So why don't you give us a little background on how Mang started, and we'll go from there.
That's a great story. So 8 years ago, I was finishing up a degree in environmental studies. And during that degree, fell in love with mangrove ecosystems on the west coast of Florida. And through that passion, I got to teach kids about oysters and mangroves and the benefits of them, and fell in love with the species because of my love for fishing. And yep. going backwater, my Ginu, you know, sight cast redfish, snook, tarpon, trout, everything, and just fall in love with inshore fishing. And that love transgressed into the brand it is today. And so when we were kind of getting ready to launch, we're like, what's the name? What are we going to do? You know, I've got a degree in environmental studies. Everything's looking very grim for the world. Everything's on a decline. You know, things are going backwards. And, you know, I think it's up to citizens and our community and the people in it to be responsible for our communities versus laying it all on the government to be responsible. So I believe business can move the pendulum and also be a voice for how we make impact to our community. So we birthed Buy One, Plant One as our program to give back. My brother Keith's got a degree in horticulture. So naturally we lent to, hey, let's grow our own mangroves. And then let's create some merchandise and apparel around that to sell to the consumer. So the original idea was actually to develop a camo, which we call our mangroflage. Mm-hmm. And mangroflage, it's a great pattern. My Aunt Sherry actually painted it. And mangroflage kind of was the birth of the brand. And from there, everything kind of extrapolated and it turned in today. So long, long nights, hard work, persistence, a lot of time on the road. And we were able to build a pretty solid brand here in the state of Florida. And now we cover most of the Southeast and sell to all 50 states. And yeah. we're proud to have a brand with a mission that gives back to our coastlines.
That's awesome, man. So, I mean, growing up over there in Florida, I mean, at a young age, I mean, I think a lot of kids and stuff growing up, you know, we just want to go fishing and stuff, you know, it's like, we're not really thinking about habitat and that kind of thing until later on in life, you know. I mean, was that the same case for you? Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, Palm Beach, we have a different resource management here. We have a lagoon that's mostly seawall to seawall, so I didn't really get the in-depth, you know, closeness to the mangroves on a daily or weekly routine. And we had some mangroves on our lagoon, but we didn't go sight cast for snook and redfish on the flats here. Yeah. We were more run and gun, go offshore, do more of the offshore fishing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, do a little bit inshore here and there. And my love for fishing was a lot less than it was as I moved into my, you know, past my, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old as it is today. So, you know, I got the bug one day and just never stopped. And from that then on, it was game on. But, you know, we grew up in a county that was developing at a fast rate here on the East Coast. It slowed down through the recession, but Palm Beach is a beautiful place. We get beautiful blue water, but we had coral reef ecosystems dying right off our coast. You know, even in my lifetime, those used to be vibrant, you know, somewhat vibrant, very well-established coral reefs. And those were gone, you know, even in our time. So we could see where things were declining. You know, our coastlines here were continuing to be developed. And then, you know, there weren't as many solutions back in the day. And one of the footholds we got into was partnering with municipalities. That's kind of how we got our feet wet. So we started growing mangroves, knocking on doors saying, hey guys, we've got mangroves. We're two young kids. We were 23, 24 years old at the time to launch all this. And, you know, they're like, these kids are jokes. They're not going to be around for a couple of years. You know, Yeah. You know, this is just going to be like a little bit of a, you know, a phase and run on kind of thing. And, you know, that's what most people thought. And then year after year, our mangroves got bigger, our program got bigger, our sales got stronger. And we're a mainstay when it comes to mangroves now. So it's pretty fun and exciting. And we're making an impact at the coastal level, for our coastal communities. You know, our trees right now are providing habitat for birds, fish, aquatic life. You know, crabs, every day we wake up, we can think about those trees doing their ecosystem purpose. Yeah. So through partnerships and different things, we've done some cool things.
And I know y'all, I don't know what the current number is, but I mean, y'all, when y'all talk, y'all are planting mangroves, like roughly how many do you think you've planted to date so far?
I think we're around 625,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So based on y'all's growth, when do you think y'all are going to hit 1 million?
Our goal is to hit 1 million by end of 2025.
Oh, that's
it'll
awesome.
It'll be our 10-year anniversary in business. And that's kind of, we're steamlining for it. So yeah. It's on my target radar and we check it in.
I imagine. I seen how high the number was and I was like, oh yeah, that's going to be cool, man. Maybe we can come over there and witness that. That's a big number. So,
and mangroves would be cool.
I think a lot of people in the outdoors, you know, with social media and everything today and companies like y'all's and stuff, you know, we know more about the value of habitat. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm over here in Texas and so sure. we have mangroves, but not a lot. And most of our habitat in the upper Texas coast is all oyster reefs, obviously. And you know, we're seeing kind of the same issues that y'all are having with the mangroves. I mean, just constant battering from storms and freshwater and drought and all these things. And I assume all those things are going to affect the mangroves, you know, in the same kind of way as they are over here. But habitat is so important and it's really cool that y'all have been able to engage, your consumer and the public into what y'all are doing. So there's not a lot of companies do that. They might say like, hey, we got this thing, you know, we want to get involved, but y'all, I mean, y'all are actually putting boots on the ground and getting it done. That's pretty cool, man.
We're doing our best. You know, we're a small team, so that's where we rely on the community, you know, so people are supportive, man. They want to get their hands dirty. They want to get out in the wild. So anytime we have the opportunity to get people's hands dirty, we bring them to our nursery to do nursery events. We do plantings in the wild as well. We wish we could be doing them every day here in Florida, but there's a process to mangrove planting, believe it or not. but we've been able to support projects in the Bahamas, you know, get our feet wet in the Caribbean and, you know, just be a resource really, I think is the biggest thing that Mang offers is we're a resource. You know, if you have questions about mangroves or mangrove restoration and you're in a different place, whether we're doing the physical planting or not, we want to be a resource for people to help them, you know, manicure their procedures and how they do mangrove restoration, you know? So the whole goal is to be a, you know, sow our seeds in different directions so that we can have a larger impact and ultimately, you know, have a better earth. Right. So it kind of takes the self out of it, you know?
Hopefully we can figure out some way we can start doing some mangrove plantings over here where they've historically been found and stuff. Cause I know there's a lot of a hope from a lot of anglers down in South Texas that want more mangroves back in the bays. And I got to fish for the first time around mangroves, I don't know, probably about 8 years ago out of Tampa. And man, just unreal. Just, I mean, you feel like you're in the jungle. I mean, getting around these things and getting engulfed in the bay, you know, around mangroves and these little islands and stuff, they're just covered and I know one of the things I noticed while we were there was all these things floating in the water, these little stick looking things. And I was asking my buddy, who's the guy that we use, Chris Camps over there. I was like, what is that? And he's like, those are like the seed pods from the mangroves floating around. So, so why don't you jump in and kind of tell us a little bit about kind of the different species of mangroves that y'all have and kind of, I don't know if you want to delve into like their life cycle or whatever, but just kind of a little bit of the biology, I guess, of it.
Yeah, we'll jump back a little bit there. So where you were just talking about seed pods, right? Those are called propagules. So mangroves are one of those unique trees that produce seeds. When they produce seeds, they're actually producing trees. So when they fall into the water, they're already germinated. They're actually ready to go, right? So all they're looking for is ground. So as they float through the tidal cycle, they're looking for the perfect elevation a place with the perfect hydrology and good sediment, right? To basically root themselves upright to begin growing a tree. So back in the day, we've always said at Meng, Mother Nature's the best planter. We're just here to give her a helping hand, right? So a lot of our focus actually draws into what we call adaptation projects, but we'll get into that a little later. So here in Florida, we have three main species, which is the red, the white, and the black mangrove. The zonation is actually red, black, white, as far as how they transgress inland. And they all have a unique kind of ability to do different things for the ecosystem. But the biggest thing is they can live in salt water, right? They have no natural competition besides like Spartina grass and other, you know, very salt tolerant species, which are, they're very rare in, you know, South Florida and in Texas.
Yeah.
So around the world, there's actually 70 different types of mangroves, but we just are blessed to have, we're blessed to have the three here. And then there's a subspecies called a buttonwood. Now we're getting sciencey. So, so what's unique is they're all aiding different things. So you got birds, fish, aquatic life, shoreline erosion, carbon sequestration. You've got detrital load, which feeds your basically the bottom of the food chain, which is your leaf matter and your broken branches and all that aids into our ecosystem. But ultimately, I mean, we call them the tree of life, baby. I mean, they really provide so much for our coastlines. You know, when you have roseate spoonbills or ibises or wood storks or any of these birds that nest in the mangroves, their food source is right there. They don't have to go far. So they're that critical line for birds, but they're also a critical line for, you know, storms. You know, when we have large storm events here in Florida, just like you guys have in Texas sometimes, you know, those storms, those mangroves are the first line of defense. They're taking all that wave. They're taking all that wave energy down. They're helping to protect our coastlines. They're holding things together. So when we got involved in hurricane restoration over in the Bahamas, part of the Bahamas Mangrove Alliance, that was one of the big things was there was 170 square kilometers of dead mangroves from that storm, right? You're talking, you know, football fields of, you know, dead mangroves. So, you know, when you see stuff like that, you're called to action. You know, here in Florida, we just experienced a large storm 2 years ago, Hurricane Ian. And Ian did the same thing to my second hometown, which is Fort Myers, Florida. That's where I got my degree. It's where a lot of my friends are. It's a great fishery over there. And that's where I learned how to inshore fish. And it's devastating going to an area that used to be a lush mangrove and not anymore. But there's always hope on the radar. As long as there's a natural seed source, your hydrology is intact, your elevations maintain themselves, you can have natural seed source come right back in and replant the area. But if you've got impediments like plastic pollution, you've got, you know, large mounds of dirt blocking water flow, you've got different things happening, a whole mangrove shoreline can be cut off from its natural ability to basically reestablish itself. Mm-hmm. So you have to do a whole audit of the area and say, okay, where are the critical areas that need to be reestablished and where can we get access to different areas? So beautiful partnerships through private land ownership and other opportunities give us quicker access. And then from there, we can start to work with the higher local governments to get more access because mangroves are federally protected. Yep. So it's not just to go and plant and you can go wherever you want. We go the legal route, even though we kind of want to be, you know, saltwater cowboys some days and be vigilantes.
Yeah. So is that a permitting process through FWC or is it through another state agency over there? I'm assuming multiple, but
it depends where it's at. You know, if you go down to the Florida Keys, there's like six different, you know, government agencies that work together and someone owns underwater rights. Someone owns above water rights. Someone owns the fringe rights. It's like you have there's different red tape for different areas. So you just take it project by project, but you know, the general case we're working with, you know, the Department of Environmental Protection, you're working with FWC or working with the Bureau of Land Management. Those are kind of like the big three. And then we'll work with the local state and county. That's kind of where you start generally, because that's where you can get the buy-in and the win for the projects that you're proposing. And then, you'll go to like other non-government organizations, or NGOs to get a little bit more buyback too. So, you know, you just want to build your reputation in different areas so you can get the right people for you to do more projects and restoration. So it's a little bit of a process. We tend to just find municipalities who need mangroves and then we donate them. That's part of the Buy One, Plant One program. Mm-hmm. So that way we're coming in, we're growing the trees for them free of charge And then we're coming in and donating them so that we can get access to land, get our community out there to do the good work. And then that way it kind of gets the red tape a little quicker, and it makes us a little bit more quicker to execute. So we're not having to do all the paperwork and the filing of the permitting. Now, as we've grown the company, we've started to dive deeper into that stuff because we do want to have more ownership and more opportunity to involve the community in some, other projects. So
that's pretty cool. So when y'all were first starting to grow these mangroves, were y'all starting to grow them in like the bathtub, or did y'all have a small small area out in the backyard? And I'm sure it's a pretty big area now for the that you're having to grow.
We've got a beautiful 2.5 acre property here in Palm Beach, and our gracious mother, call her Mama Mang, has donated a good portion of that property. And now it's, half mangrove farm and then some. And we took an old tennis court kind of that was dilapidated, built in the 70s. It's my grandfather's property. Actually, he bought in 1968, believe it or not. And we took his old tennis court basically and turned that into a full scale mangrove farm right there. So we started in one little corner, a couple hundred mangroves or whatever it was, and started figuring out, okay, what type of soil do they like? How much salt do they need? What are the different things? And then started growing them on pallets and then overhead sprinkling, just like keeping them wet all day and whatnot. And then over the years, those turned into large floodplains. We call them our mangrove troughs. So we've got about 9 40 footers out in that tennis court alone. And that can service anywhere between, that part of our farm services anywhere between 8 to 10,000 trees at a time. And then we have another section outside the tennis court now that services about 20,000 trees. So we're anywhere between 20 to 30,000, depending on the time of year. And then we like to cycle through for Florida projects. We like to cycle through about 10,000 a year to keep up with our Florida demands.
Nice. Yeah, y'all do a lot of stuff on social media, and that's why I was bringing up about going out and collecting the mangroves. Plant. Are y'all able to collect those? I mean, legally, I guess, and propagate those up and grow them like that.
Yeah. Or? So the legal way in Florida is you collect them free floating out in the wild. So we'll actually go out on skiffs. And we'll get big dip nets and we look crazy out there and we'll hit basically the tide lines in between the high and low. And we just hit those dirty water marks and they'll stack right there where the fresh water meets the salt. And we'll just hit those for a couple hours. And generally that gives us a pretty good haul. You can go get like, I think I got like 5,000 one day in like under an hour. If you hit the mother load, you get pretty pumped up. Yeah. But in other places like the Bahamas, they can just pick them right off the trees. Wow. So yeah, there's because they don't have as
different
much
different countries,
their,
so
different government regulations. Yep.
Yep. So, what are we've talked about storms and the what mangroves provide and stuff like that, but I know Florida's got a lot of other stuff going on right now. I think you guys just posted about something, today or yesterday, and a lot of the work that organizations like Captains for Clean Water and stuff are fighting. And it's like, how big impact is that water that's coming out and getting dumped in the bay systems? I mean, I imagine that's having a drastic human influenced effect on everything, right?
Believe it or not, mangroves are probably the most resilient of all that. So mangroves are the most, of all seagrass, oysters, clams, mussels, barnacles, whatever you want to name it, filter feeders, mangroves are at the top, and they can sustain those heavy polluted areas. They can sustain a lot more of that, that environmental damage. So they're kind of okay. Mangroves kind of are the staple for health in a lot of ways. It's just maintaining the spaces that they're in and then expanding in spaces where it makes sense.
Yeah.
So right now in Florida, because we have so much coastal development, a lot of what we do is adaptation projects. So we're coming in, we're building land up, putting rock in, or taking an old existing mangrove shoreline, cutting holes in the walls, allowing water to come back in and creating a new floodplain for more filter habitat. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we fall a lot more with our projects now, because there's just not a lot of places we can just go pop mangrove seedlings in all the time. So that's where we're a lot of our focus is on. So as we build coastal communities out, we hope that we'll be able to integrate more of these holistic, you know, ecosystem floodplains into different communities to help prevent, you know, storm surge and stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. increase your ecosystem footprint, increase carbon sequestration, and then also have a more holistic view on how we view our coastline here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good to know. I didn't know how resilient they would be. I mean, you know, like we've got, like I said, over here, they're real spotty, especially up on the upper coast. I mean, we'll have like a few black mangroves every once in a while you'll see in far cold, west man. Galveston Bay.
It's cold.
Yeah, it does get cold. It's here.
The
cold.
So, yeah, the mangroves hate cold. Like I'm a Floridian, I hate cold. I can tolerate for about 2 weeks, and that's about what a mangrove can too. So it's one of those things.
Yeah, and they're not very big. I mean, they're pretty small. You know, we've had some areas where they get decimated when a storm comes in, what little pockets of them we have. But, you know, I don't spend a lot of time down far south Texas, but I know they got a lot more down there than mm-hmm. we do up here. But, and they saved our butts over there in Tampa one summer when we were over there for ICAST fishing, had a tropical storm come in, and we got caught in one of the outer bands while we were out fishing, and we just ducked up in the mangroves is the only place we could go. So. And I'll never forget that trip because it was raining so hard and we were still fishing, catching snook. And we had so much freaking water in the boat. It wasn't scary, but we had one of the snook dropped off and was literally swimming around us in the boat while we're hiding in the mangroves. It was pretty funny. So, and that's nobody could get their phone on because everybody's phone was wet to record it. But we got the snook safely back into the bay. So.
But, that's one of those good stories you'll never forget.
Yeah, no, it was raining freaking hard. So, but well, you know, I've heard I heard you mention earlier too that your aunt does a lot of the artwork and stuff for y'all. How did that come about for y'all's apparel side?
We just had disaster one day. She was always been an artist, and I was like, hey, do you mind drawing a snook with some crazy roots going through it? And she was like, yeah, I can try. And she did the first one. It was amazing. And then she's been our in-house artist since then. So
that's pretty cool.
We have a one-of-one artist. People always ask, hey, can you do some artwork for us? No, but you can collaborate with us.
Yeah.
So she's been a big integral part. You know, we've got a lot of family that works for the business now, and then some cool. other staff that support us too. And so we call it family owned and family grown.
Yeah, you know, that's so awesome.
Keeping it local as much as we can, but also we have dreams and ambitions to continue to grow and scale our operations, you know, put farms in different places mm-hmm. so that we can keep making impact in places that need it. And, you know, we'll call them micro farms for today, you know, where we can start growing up mangroves for future projects in different locations to cut down on costs, and then also, you know, just expand our network for, you know, future, you know, hurricanes or coastal development or mitigations or whatever it may be.
Right. So what are some of, I know you mentioned the Bahamas, and I know you've worked, what are some of the other places that y'all have worked or are looking to go in and help here in the future?
That's a good point. We're looking at a project site internationally in Kenya right now, which is an interesting one. So that could be cool. I mean, so a lot of the third world countries have been decimated over the years to mm-hmm. due to charcoal farming. And, you know, I look at the globe, you know, this is one earth, this is ours to protect. So, you know, when we think about, you know, integrating into different ecosystems in, you know, growing mangroves, we also have to kind of factor in where are mangroves needed most. And that's part of our mission. You know, we have an international mission. So as that project, we get more information, that might be something that we start to implement some of our sales into to mm-hmm. feed a new project. So that's kind of on the radar right now. We love Florida. We love the Bahamas projects just because the opportunities to fish are amazing. But, you know, to go over to Kenya and also make an impact on a community who's very underprivileged, to know that your money is going towards feeding families and you know, helping out other people through the act of, you know, our business being able to support other areas. It's huge. I mean, it's a pretty big thing. We've done a couple of those international funded projects to get to our mangrove count today, and they've been super fruitful to hear the stories back from the community and what they're able to do, and they get a lot of work done. You know, they work hard.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I'm excited to see that part of the story continue to grow and stuff. And you know, y'all, the stuff that y'all are selling and stuff, the shirts and stuff like that, I mean, they're really nice. And the artwork is really cool. I mean, I think I told you before, I got my wife and daughter some stuff. And I seen the Sawfish shirt that y'all had, and I was like, I've got to get that. So one of my good friends I used to work with over here at Parks and Wildlife, she's down in Palmetto and she's one of the lead researchers on sawfish over there in Florida and stuff. And
oh, cool.
So I loved seeing sawfish promoted and stuff like that. So that was cool.
Yeah. Sawfish design is one of those unique ones, you know, you don't see many of those around. A couple years ago, we used to do collaborations with different organizations there was a sawfish conservation organization that we partnered up with.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, well, that's, you know, as far as like where y'all can get is most of the retail stores that y'all are in for people to buy, are they all located in Florida? I mean, I know y'all sell to all 50 states. Is most of that online or?
Most of the 50 states is online. We have a Southeast distribution channel that we're growing. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot, we have 15% of our business is actually out in country. We're all over the Caribbean, which is awesome. Nice. But we've been able, Florida has been obviously the pinnacle for where we started. So we've got great distribution in Florida. Now we're expanding into the Southeast. Ultimately, our goal is to get a location in Texas. We're as far over as Louisiana right now. Mm-hmm. And now it's just slowly trickling up. Out and up, and then building that, you know, more corporate structure and, you know, getting a national sales force team together and you know, keep kicking it, you know, but that'd it's awesome. It's trying times for a lot of business. So you got to kind of go the ebbs and flows of you know, what you invest into and, you know, being a purpose driven company, our full focus isn't everyday focused on creating new product and promoting things. We're figuring out how to do mangrove restoration here.
Right.
Doing a, you know, figuring out how to do a bid here or whatever it may be, you know, so it has its challenges to have that component to it, because it's really like running two or three businesses together.
Yeah, that's what I would think it would be like. It's not a typical business structure. So
So what are you doing? Well, I'm working on mangrove projects. Oh, okay, cool. So when's the next design dropping? You know, so. But we've been able to manage it well, and we're continuing to grow our line. You know, we're focused on, you know, performance fabrics, you know, keep stuff that keeps you cool, dry, you know, keeps you outdoors, you know, and that's the whole thing. You know, we live in a very sunny state, keeping, you know, I've worked outside for most of my youth, and my skin's beating up on my neck and back, right? So even, you know, being a young gun, so keeping myself protected, you know, keeping our customers protected, you know, skin cancer is a real thing. So that's one of the things that we're trying to prevent is skin cancer in a lot of ways. And then also you get to look kind of cool wearing it too.
Yeah.
And then promote the mission.
Yep. Yeah. And I noticed y'all are using some of the stuff, y'all are using the recycled fabric and stuff. The, was it Revive or something? I know we've had some stuff.
We've used Reprieve, and then Reprieve. We're launching our own Eco Mang line here in April, actually. So
that's awesome.
That's going to be there's a pretty cool collaboration that we're working on with an awesome give back company, and I'll leave it there, and that's it.
That's cool.
I won't name them today, but we're hyping it up, and it's gonna be a collection that's gonna kind of blow everyone's socks off. We hope so.
That's cool, man. I'm excited.
It's gonna be excited to hear about products. That. It's gonna be, you know, hope, you know, have a good sustainable story to it.
Yeah,
and the give back component is gonna be huge for our coastlines.
That's awesome. So. We'll do everything we can to help get y'all secured in some places over here in Texas. So
that'd be awesome.
that'll be fun to see that. And I know everything that y'all are promoting and selling will do good over here. So once that's established, so, you know, where do y'all, and we talked about, the million plants or the million mangroves, you know, that kind of projected time frame. But and a little bit else as far as like working out of country, is there other things that y'all are looking to expand to in the next 5 years that y'all can talk about, or 10 years or whatever? What's your plans for the future?
Right now we're playing in the world of what we call green and gray infrastructure. And that kind of goes back to adaptation. So you'll see some new age ideas on how we do shoreline resiliency in areas that are being degraded. So that's going to be pretty unique. That stuff's starting to kind of launch off now. So there's some behind the scenes stuff that's happening that we're not airing yet. That's beginning to be tested out there with some different, we'll call them modules for today's talk. Yeah. And we're pretty stoked up on the opportunity to add some more infrastructure in areas where we may not be able to put mangroves, right, or we may not be able to do different things. So we're full scale doing that now, which is pretty cool. Which is just another aspect for how are we thinking outside the box of, okay, if we can't put a mangrove there, what can we put there for infrastructure, yeah, you know, for fish and stuff? Because basically what we're falling into is our seawalls are, there's no hiding spot for forage fish. And when big predators come, our jacks, our snooks, I mean, our jacks and snooks are huge here. I mean, their buckets are, massive, right? So fish don't really stand a chance. Our forage fish don't stand a chance in Palm Beach County. So the fishing is super inconsistent because there's nowhere for bait fish to hide. So right, the placement of these islands out there. So our county's built over 20 mangrove islands now, like 1 acre a piece, basically. And we've had the opportunity to probably do installations on almost half of them now. And that's pretty, it's huge because now we have a place for all our forage fish at high tide. Now we have places for, crabs and oysters and barnacles, and we're seeing life come back. We're seeing sea trout come back to the lagoon here. We're seeing maybe potentially redfish starting to move in a little bit more, and those numbers go up because redfish, yeah, and trout skip our lagoon. We don't have seagrass flats here in Palm Beach. So you go up north to Sebastian and north, plenty of redfish. You go south towards Miami, towards the Keys, redfish show back up. But this swath right here in between is we lack those fish at a high level. They move through here. They don't stick around.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be cool to see those come back to our lagoon here in Lake Worth. And then ultimately, I mean, our snook fishing is bomb now. I mean, it is really good. So and that's kind of what we get into pretty big. And our tarpon fishing is pretty good. And then our sail fishing is pretty rock star too. So, I mean, we definitely are blessed with good fishing all around. I'm not complaining, but it'd be cool to just see some of those other species,
yeah,
you know, be more of the bycatch.
Yeah, I'm sure some guys over here in Texas would gladly donate some redfish over to your area because we have so many right now. Everybody,
bring them on, baby.
I've had more people complain to me about having too many damn redfish. These giant bull reds, you know, that's all they catch. You know, it's like they're eating all the trout and all this stuff. It's like they're not eating the trout, yeah, but they are eating a lot of the bait and stuff, but there's just so many of them, and that's Texas' biggest comeback story is the redfish,
yeah,
on the coastal side of things, because they were pretty much driven out completely, almost extirpated due to netting and stuff back in the 80s, late 70s and early 80s,
yeah, before
the
net. I mean, that's a great comeback story. I know Tampa Bay's got a similar thing, you know. Yeah. We've got water quality issues at the wazoo here, and that's driving our fish populations this way,
yeah,
which is not helpful, you know. It's a problem that we're going to solve collectively. You know, there's a lot of players in the field here, and we're a small little peanut. Our brand, we stay what we would call apolitical. We don't tend to, yeah, be too, yeah, political, right, but we support people who are up there in Tallahassee who are pushing their voices and messages, who are doing things for, you know, the future of Florida's water. And it's a stepping stone, right? You have to kind of pick a course and you head on that course. And then when the next course is available, you change course to go that way. And I'm the guys at Captains, people at Everglades Foundation, people doing all that good work, all that policy, people at Bonefish and Tarpon Trust, people doing the hard work. hey, salute to them all, because it's not easy.
It's to tough.
Be wrapped up in that hemisphere. And when you look collectively at the revenues of these nonprofits and the impact that they're doing, their revenues are nothing what they're going against when it comes to policy and all the issues and, yep. and fighting for the environment. People think a couple million bucks is a lot of money. Now that stuff gets eaten up quicker than Sic'em Sam. So, you know, that's the whole thing, is these, they need money to fund. We just fund our projects through our profits, you know, and that's how we keep maintaining, because we just need to sell merchandise.
Yeah. And I think, you know, none of that stuff goes fast, whether it's in for, you know, pro or negative, you know, it moves both ways. And man, it takes a long time to get stuff to where you really want it to be. And you're right, man. It takes a collective of people, the same mindset and the same, you know, mission goals to make that stuff happen. But yeah, y'all were a part of that and doing a good job and what you're doing with all the restoration work and introduction of new mangroves and stuff. So it's pretty cool. So, well, tell us, we'll kind of start wrapping it up here, but kind of give us some info on where people can buy from you guys. And as far as like y'all's social media presence and stuff like that, where people can follow along on y'all's journey.
Yeah, sure. So, easiest way to access our full catalog is mangear.com. And then all our social pages are at mangear. So that's keeps it pretty simple, right?
Yep.
But really, you know, if you like the ocean, you like the outdoors, you know, we've got something for everybody generally. So go peek through the catalog and see what you like. If you like ocean creatures, you know, support us if you can. And if not, just give us a follow. And that's great support too. And share our message to other people who may like us. And we'll just keep on doing our thing and stand strong.
All right, man. Well, is there any hints to... if I come back over, I'll see you at iCasting in the summer. But I know you and your brother are identical twins.
So, yes, we are.
And I had Emily and Amanda Gale over here a couple of years ago for our podcast summit. And I was with them for 4 days. And one's an inch taller. I think Amanda's an inch taller. And I'm just like, still like, y'all have to wear name tags.
We run into them every now and again. And I still can't tell the difference.
Yes.
And I'm a twin. Awesome. That's bad, right? Yeah, they've done amazing things with their channel.
Yep. So, well, cool, man. Well, Kyle, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on today and tell us about Mang and what all y'all got going on and stuff. And look forward to following along and catching up with you again this summer over in Orlando.
Yeah, no. So, thanks, Derek. I appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
It was a pleasure.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Have a wonderful day.
Yep.
Places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, Waypoint TV. the destination for outdoor entertainment. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.